Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Tes Zayin. We are in Tes Vav Amud Beis. And for the last couple of days, we've been discussing just but one topic. Beis Shammai and Beis Ola argue regarding Tzaras Erva. Tzaras Erva, the co-wife of an Erva, is in the Yibum context, is now what status? According to Beis Ola, since the beginning of the Masechta, we have established that the status of a Tzaras Erva is that of an Erva. Co-wife and Erva is an Erva. They have drushas to conclude this way. They also have svaras to conclude this way as well. Tzaras Erva is like an Erva, which means to say that in the context of Yibum, a man dies, leaves two wives. One of them is an Erva, the other one's a co-wife of an Erva. They're both going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum, and they both now are free to go. And this is what we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, and then just a short couple of days ago, the next Mishnah, which is found all the way in Daf Yigimel, so introduces us that Beis Shammai didn't agree with that. Beis Shammai is of the position that a Tzaras Erva is not Muteris, but the Tzaras Erva rather has a Zika. She is now connected to her brother-in-law, despite the fact that she's the co-wife of an Erva. The Erva obviously is going to be exempt and excused from Yibum, but the Tzaras Erva herself is going to be obligated in Yibum. Now, this is a fundamental debate, as we've been now discussing for the last couple of days, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, because the ramifications are wide. According to the Shita of Beis Hillel, this woman now, Tzaras Erva, so she is going to be Muteris. She will have no connection whatsoever. From Beit Shammai's perspective, as Beit Shammai is watching this, Beit Shammai is thinking to themselves, in other words, not thinking, but their position is that this woman is currently she has a Zika. She is a Yevam Lashuk. Yevam Lashuk, a Yevam who's supposed to be marrying her Yavam and elects to marry somebody else. So that's a law in the Torah. Children are not going to be Mamzerim, but still that's a law in the Torah. What's going on over there? And now let's look at it from the perspective of Beis Hillel as Beis Shammai practices. So according to Beis Shammai, this Yevam Lashuk is going to be, this Yevam Lashuk is now going to be marrying her Yavam. Marrying her Yavam, according from Beis Hillel's perspective, what is that? She is right now, she is excused from the mitzvah of Yibum. Moreover, Tzaras Erva to the Yavam is an Erva. Tzaras Erva now is considered an Erva to the Yavam, and now they have relations, they have children, so the result of that marriage is going to be Mamzerim. Okay, that's obviously extraordinarily difficult. So now we are looking at a halacha, which is a point of disagreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The ramifications of this is really profound, and so, fine, so it's a machlokas, but it's a really, really interesting machlokas, and it's a difficult machlokas. We have been litigating one issue since we presented ourselves to this machlokas on Daf Yadalin, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Daf Yadalin, Daf Tesvav, and a little bit in today's Daf as well. And that is that this machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, so certainly we know they argued. That point is clear. Beis Shammai, what was their practice? What was the practice of the families of Beis Shammai? Did they put into the practice their position, or did they, or no? In other words, in the Beis Medrash, they argued, but once they walked outside the Beis Medrash, so they capitulated, they yielded to the position of Beis Hillel. That was the question. Asu, or lo asu? As I already pointed out yesterday a couple of times, and I get to point out again, the evidence seems to be pretty clear. Beis Shammai actually put into practice their position. It was not just a machlokas in the Beis Medrash, but once outside, they did so. In fact, the simple reading of our Mishnah, go back to Yud Gimel, and it would indicate that this is in fact correct. Why? Because the Mishnah in Yud Gimel said that despite the fact that they argued with one another, they did not hesitate from marrying into one another's family. Okay, in other words, if the machlokas was only in the Beis Medrash and not in practice, so why would the Mishnah have to add that point, and they didn't refrain from marrying into one another's family? Meaning, and as Rashi pointed out, and we saw it in the Gemara, it means to say that they communicated with one another. Meaning, Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, if there was ever a family that is a product of Tzaras Erva, so, and each party followed their respective positions, so they told one another, for you Beis Hillelniks, you know, you can't marry this particular family, this particular girl, because we know how you feel about her, and likewise. And Beis Hillel, of course, would reciprocate with any family that became questionable to Beis Shammai. Okay? So that was the, that has been the discussion since, and we continue. Today's Daf Tes Zayin. So we are going to be starting on Tesvav Amud Beis. We're going to be a little bit, about a third of the way down, Tashma. We're going to be learning another Braisa together. And once again, the Braisa here is going to be used in order to help us litigate whether or not Beit Shammai put into practice or did not. We begin. Right. So the Gemara's the question is just to review the question. So if Rashi says that the whole concern of Losis Go to do is it's near Kishtei Taurus, it looks like there are two Taurus, and how this is not a violation of Losis Go to do. So that's a really difficult question. The Gemara addresses that question, and the Gemara says that if there are two Bate Dinim, so and the Psak comes as a result of two Bate Dinim, so it's not a violation of Losis Go to do. If you remember, this was back on Daf Yudal. So if you recall, so it's difficult. I struggled myself to understand exactly how this is not going to look like two different Torahs. Meaning, despite the fact that it's coming out of two different Beitins, and yes, in other words, each Beitin arrived at their own conclusion, but okay, but when all said and done, the perception is certainly that it looks like two different Torahs. So good. So the Gemara, that's the Gemara's response to your question, and I myself am not fully understanding how it doesn't look like two different Torahs. So basically, I'm with you. I'm yet to fully understand how this is still not a violation of Losin's code to do. Tashma Shalu is Rabbi Yoshua. A third of the way down, they asked Rabbi Yoshua, Tzaras Abbas Mahu. So what is going to be the conclusion regarding Tzaras Abbas? So the co-wife of an Erva. Amalai Machloka Beishamai Beis Hillel. So his response is, you know, it's Machlokas. That is textbook of, I'm not answering the question. That's a no comment. Okay, so it's machlokes b'shem b'sham b'sel v'alach k'divrei. But then there's a follow-up question in here in the interview. Okay, new. We know it's machlokes b'sham b'sel. Thank you very much. Who does the halacha fall like? So armalem ibnei ma'atem echnisim roshi ben shnei harim gedolim. Why are you putting my heads between two mountains? Ben shnei machlokes gedolos ben b'sham b'sel. Meaning, I do not want to get involved. I thought that was clear from my first answer to the question. But apparently, you're not good with a hint. So let me be clear. I do not want to get involved. What I'm afraid of is that they're going to crush my skull. Who's going to crush his skull? So in other words, not Beit Shammai, not Beit Hillel, but in other words, but what he's going to have to do in order to take a side is that he's going to have to point to certain families, not literally point, but he will be pointing to certain families who are the results of an illicit union. And according to as we outlined the beginning of Shir today, and according to certain shitas, they're going to be mamzerim. Okay, so and that's of course that's and they're going to be really upset. So aval ani meilechem al shem mishpachos gadol sheyibu shalai mishpachos beit zvoi mi ben achmaay mishpachos beit kupai ben mikoshesh. However, there are two families, two very prestigious families. Shehem b'nei Tzaros. Now they happen to be children of Tzaros. Omehem Kohanim Gedolim v'shimshu agabei Mizbeach, and resulted from them are Kohanim Gedolim, and they happen to be serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Fine. So what he is at least attesting to is the idea that, yes, we have children of Tzaros, and presumably, right, the presumption over here is that I'll present it as a simple assumption is that what happened to the Tzaros is that they just simply married outside, meaning they follow the position of Beis Hillel, and yet even from a Beis Shammai standpoint, Beis Shammai was perfectly comfortable with them assuming the positions of Kohen Gadol. Okay, anyway, comes out over here as follows is that he's worried about the repercussions. Okay, it's pretty clear. Again, like I said yesterday, the evidence is almost overwhelming. That those who followed the Shita of Beit Shammai actually subscribed to this position, meaning they put into practice. And the Gemara makes exactly this point. What's his fear? Meaning if everyone's practicing the same, there should be no concern for his life. And meanwhile, he's concerned for his life. It's because not everyone's practicing the same. So the Gemara says, Nehin amida asu, my misyariani. So the Gemara says, okay. Again, like we said yesterday, but we're going to say again today. Okay, we're going to assume that they actually follow everyone followed their respective position. The Gemara says, I'm still not totally convinced in terms of why it is that he's so concerned. Now, when I say he, I mean specifically now Rabbi Yoshua. Okay. Remember, we had this discussion just yesterday, and this is basic information that we need to know for the Masechta. What produces a mamzer? Okay. So first I'll present the halacha. The halacha is, you know what produces a mamzer? The product of a union that is prohibited through an issur karis. Okay. Arias. Any heir of a relationship is going to produce a mamzer. Notable exception to that, of course, is Anida. A man has relations with Anida, even though that's an Isser Erva. Nevertheless, the child is not going to be a Mamzer. Notable exception. But outside of that, any one of the other Arayas where there's a production of a child through that Isser Erva, through the Isser Kares, is in fact going to be a Mamzer. That's the Halacha. Okay. Now we step away from the Halacha and we go to Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua has a position which is not an accepted position, but it is his position. And that is no. Arayas in general do not produce an erva. It has to be an erva, and it has to be an erva punishable by death, meaning misas bidei adam. That and only that, according to Rabbi Yoshua, is going to produce an erva. So that means to say that saras erva, according to Rabbi Yoshua, is not going to produce a mamzer. Okay, I know that's a little bit confusing. I recognize that, but anyway, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara says so. Lishita, so according to his shita, so now why is he scared? Why is he concerned? That's the Gemara's question. So according to the shita of Rabbi Yoshua, even if there is a violation of Arayas here, which again, from the perspective of Beis Hillel, so Beis Shammai now, who is allowing Sarah Zerva to be with her brother-in-law, so that is Arayas, but it's not Mrs. Beis Din. Therefore, the children are not mamzerim. So why is Rabbi Yoshua concerned? Okay. It's a difficult question, simply because Rabbi Yoshua has got to recognize the fact that not everyone's in agreement with him, meaning he's not taking the majority viewpoint, he's taking his own viewpoint, and it's hard to imagine that everyone's following his own viewpoint. So I admit that the Gemara's question here is a little bit difficult to understand, but lishita, so according to Rabbi Yoshua, you're not going to produce a mamzer, so why would Rabbi Yoshua be concerned? So Gemara gives an answer. So the Gemara says like this. Yeah. According to the Shita Rabbi Yoshua, so you're right. Mamzeris is off the table. But what is on the table for discussion is Pugum. Pugum literally means to be impaired, to be defected. And over here, we're worried about that. What is that in reference to? It's reference to being a Kohen. Meaning that we know that if a Kohen, let's say, for example, marries a Grusha, so what are the children? The children are Chalalim. They are devoid of all Kedushas Kahuna. They can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So over here, even if Mamzeris is taken off the table, but maybe the concern would be that you have these Kohanim who now, based on Rabbi Yoshua's Psak of Beis Hillel, are now going to be Kohanim that are Chalalim. So the Gemara says, Mikav HaChomer Mi'almana. And the argument can be argued in the following logical argument. So let's say an almana were to marry a Kohen Gadol. Almana is allowed to marry a Kohen. But an almana marries a Kohen Gadol. So what do we know? The Pasuk in the Torah says that the children are Chalalim. That's clear. And so that means to say that when you see an illicit union, the children are Chalalim. And over here, let's make the argument. And almana is only prohibited to a Kohen Gadol. She is muteris to everybody else. And yet, that illicit union is going to produce halalim. So zushi, surashava, b'chol, v'chule. And now, when you have somebody that is prohibited to everybody, when we say prohibited to everyone, who are we describing? We're describing now the Yavama Lashuk. The Yavama Lashuk is going to be prohibited to everybody. So under those circumstances, the children that are the result of that union for sure are going to be halalim. When you're talking about a universal Isser. So, that explains the Gemara, is why Rabbi Yoshua was also still reluctant and hesitant to give an answer, because he realized that even if Mamzerim is taken off the table, Lishita so, but still, what's on the table for discussion is Chalalim. The Gemara over here now, just a little bit more in terms of the back and forth between Rabbi Yoshua and whoever asked him. So, Kabami Neitzaros, Veitzaros, Vekapashule Benetzaros. So the Gemara says, you know, aside from avoiding the answer, even when he answered the question, he didn't answer the question directly. Because if you recall, they asked him the question is, what is the status of the co-wife of an erva? His response is, well, let me tell you about the children of the co-wife of an erva. Okay, no? So why didn't you get? Why didn't you answer directly? So Tarte Kabamine. So the Gemara says, yeah, because what was not given to us in the original Braisa, but in other words, from the answer, it's clear. And the Gemara now is spelling it out. They asked them both questions. They asked them, number one, what's the question regarding Tzaras Erva? And then they asked them, number two, what is going to be with regarding the children? So Tzaras Maiv, Imtim Tzalam, Tzaras Kebeis Hillel. So the Gemara says, okay, so what is the story with Tzaras? Now you're going to tell me that the Tzaras, we follow like the Shita of Beis Hillel, that the Tzaras are exempt from the mitzvah of Yibam. So the Gemara says, B'nei Tzaras de Beis Hillel, Le Beis Shammai Mai. Okay, now, let's say this woman goes ahead and marries. So from Beis Hillel, which she is allowed to do. In fact, not only allowed, she can't marry her Yavam. So according to Beis Hillel, she is now going to be encouraged / required to marry someone other than her Yavam. So now, under those circumstances, from Beis Shammai's perspective, what's going to be the status of her children? And again, I know this is complicated because you have to look from two different perspectives, and that's hard. But in other words, we're looking now from the perspective of Beis Shammai. Now, from Beis Shammai's perspective, what just happened? She's a Yavama Lashuk. She was supposed to marry her Yavam. And now she didn't, and she married somebody else, and she had children with somebody else. From Beis Shammai's perspective, what's going to be regarding that children? Now, the Gemara says, Lamai Nafkamina, so the Gemara says, okay, let me see if I can follow this back and forth over here. You asked me first who the halacha falls like. Okay, you told me the halacha falls like Beis Hillel. Now the follow-up question is, now how Beis Shammai going to view that? I don't understand. If the halacha falls like Beis Hillel, why would I care how Beis Shammai views it? Meaning the halacha falls like Beis Hillel. Isn't the discussion over? So the Gemara says no. And by the way, this Gemara over here is really just it is such a strong indicator of, even if we are not taking a position that is an accepted halachic position, obviously there's still many points that can be deduced from over here. So over here, the Gemara is using this now as a case study, as an example of, even though the halacha doesn't fall like Beis Shammai, but once we see something through the lens of Beis Shammai, we can arrive at a conclusion. For example, according to Beis Shammai, what's this woman now who married somebody else? So that's called the Yavam Lashuk. And now the Gemara wants to know from Beis Shammai's perspective, what's going to be now with the status regarding the children? So the Gemara says, Lamai Nafkamina, why do I care? So the Gemara says, Lamisha Vlad Machzer Grushas LeBeis Hillel. Because once we know how Beis Shammai is going to view those children, so now we could take that idea and apply it to a case which is an accepted halacha. Meaning, let's say, for example, a person takes back his Machzer Grushaso, Mishenises. Somebody who divorced his wife, she married another man, she divorced the other man, the original husband takes her back, as we've already highlighted earlier in the Masechta. That is an Isser, it's a Lav in the Torah. The child is not going to be a Mamzer because this is not one of the Arayos. And yet, the question now becomes, is the child, if let's say we're dealing with a Kohen, is the child going to be a Chalal? Mi Karmen Kavachomer, so the Gemara says over here now, so once we know how Beis Shammai views the Yavam Lashuk, we can then deduce how to treat the Machzer Grushaso. So Umalaman al Kohen Gadol Shein Yisura Shava Bechol Bina Pagom Zesh Yisura Shava Bechol Einu Din Shem Bina Pagom. So the Gemara says, again, we're going to use that Kavachomer from the Almana. Almana who has a limited Isser, she's only Isser to the Kohen Gadol. And yet, the production is going to be that of a Chalal. So over here, when we're talking about a universal Isser, so for sure, that's what's going to be produced as a Chalal. Odema Yigal Mifrech, Mala Almana, Shiyatzma Mischalalas. Or the Gemara says, no, maybe the Kavachomer in of itself is not strong enough. Why? Because we have a Pircha. Meaning there is a flaw in the logic that does not allow us to go from point A to point B. The whole argument, the whole structure of a Kavachomer is that because the Halach is over here in a quote-unquote lighter case, so over here where it's a stronger Isser, so then for sure the Halacha would apply. That's the textbook argument of a Kavachomer. However, if we can make the case that where we're starting from, it's not a lighter case, but rather it's a stronger case, so then we cannot go from A to B. Over here, says the Gemara, Ikla Mifrach, we can have a Pircha. What's the Pircha? Because when it comes to the Aman who has relations with the Kohen Gadol, so aside from the fact that her children are Chalalim, she herself also, through the act of intimacy, is going to become a Chalala. Oh. So it affects not only the children, it affects her as well. The she herself has the status now of a halala. She can't eat truma, she can't marry a Kohen from that point going forward, she's a halala. So now, over here, that does not translate to Machzer Grushaso. The Machzer Grushaso, somebody takes back his Grusha, so is she now going to become a halala? She already is a Grusha. So in other words, she already is going to be disqualified from Kohanim. So she has some, sorry, Ma'al Lamana, she has some Mamis Halala. Va'amar lohu tzaros misyari anei b'nei tzaros. I'm sorry. Va'amar lohu tzaros misyari anei. So he says like this. In other words, now that we know that it was a double question that was asked, that was posed to Rabbi Yeshua, and so now the Gemara says, here's his answers. As far as the Taurus are concerned, I don't want to get involved. And as far as the B'nai Taurus is concerned, so I will, in fact, give you testimony about the children of these families of B'nai Taurus that were, in fact, Kohanim Gedolim. So the Gemara says that if a woman has a Zika, she's a Yavama, and she does not marry Yavam, she marries somebody else, she's violating a law in the Torah. So the Torah says that she cannot go outside. She has to be inside. So as far as now her marriage with somebody else, it doesn't result in mamzeres because it's not an Issa Kares. And what the Gemara now is litigating is whether or not the children are going to be halalim. The Gemara is not totally convinced one way or another on that particular issue. Tashma, we're in Tet Zayin Amud Aleph. Bimei Rebbe Dosa ben Hurkanos Hutru Tzaras Abbas Achen. So during the days of Rebbe Dosa ben Hurkanos, so what they allowed is Tzaras Abbas to be married to the brothers. So Shmamina Asu, Shmamina. So the Gemara says again, I know at this point in time, it seems to be that we already knew the answer, but the Gemara did have, in fact have another Brice, and this Brice over here says very clearly that it wasn't just a machlokis that was in the base medrash, but it was actually out there. In other words, those who subscribed to Beit Shammai actually followed the position of Beit Shammai. Okay, Agufa. The Gemara now just cited a snippet of a Braisa regarding Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus. Okay, so as long as we're here, the Gemara says, let's just now quote the Braisa in full. The Braisa as quoted in full is going to take us through most of today's Amud Aleph. Okay, it's a long Braisa. But at this point in time, let's just safely conclude that this machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, you could see now the schism that it created amongst the Jewish people, meaning that you have scenarios of Yibum. And I was thinking, by the way, not to say that I'm right, but I was thinking, right? How many Yibum scenarios have you and I heard about in our lifetime? Okay. Unfortunately, Yibum comes as a result of tragedy, meaning by definition, And in terms of people dying in an untimely manner and having, in other words, you have to be married, you have to not have children. It's a small opportunity to have a Yibum situation, and it needs tragedy. In the times of the Gemara, I'm guessing, I don't know if I'm right, but I'm guessing that there just must have been much more Yibum opportunities, meaning it wasn't. You don't have this kind of whatever. We are just treated to just less natural death, so to say.
If somebody had children, they all died. So when he dies, he's childless.
Right.
Then there is
no yibum. In other words, if you had a child, the Gemara is going to discuss it later. Okay, it's coming up later. Anyway, but still. But it created a tremendous schism amongst the Jewish people, and what you have now are children of products of unions where Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai are going to disagree regarding what is going to be the nature of that child. And as we've already pointed out numerous times, but just to see it as clearly as we can, from the perspective of Beis Hillel, anyone practicing like Beis Shammai are going to produce mamzerim. That's a really difficult statement. That's difficult, but that's what happened. And conversely, those who were the products of the union who were following Beis Hillel, from Beit Shammai's perspective, are not mamzerim, maybe halalim. Okay, so with that stated, we're going to now quote the Braisa. We are in Tet Zayin Amud Aleph. So as far as now our discussion is concerned, it's over. Meaning Beit Shammai actually practiced their position, which again, as I already pointed out, was pretty clear in the beginning of the discussion. But after much litigation, Yudalit, Tesvav, two Dapim of Gemara dedicated to this particular topic as to whether or not they did or they did not follow their own position. So the Gufa, we go back, Bimei Rebbe Dosa ben Hurkanos, Yitir Tzaras Abbas La'achin. So during the days of Rebbe Dosa ben Hurkanos, so they allowed Tzaras Abbas to the brothers. Vayadav Kashla Chachamim Nesha, Chacham Gadol Hayav Einev, Kamu Milavola Beis Medrash. So the matter was very difficult to the Chachamim. There was a Chacham who started to lose his eyesight, be unable to go to the Beis Medrash. Amru mi yelech v'yodiyu. So they asked the question, who's going to go? And who's going to inform him? So the Rabbi Yoshua was saying this to Rabbi Dosa. So Amar lehem Rabbi Yoshua, ani elech v'acharav. I'm sorry, ani elech. So I'm going to go. And when they say inform him of what? Inform him that do not go like Beis Shammai, meaning don't paskin the halach like Beis Shammai. And so what they wanted to do is send a convoy, an envoy of Rabbanim to basically tell him, basically settle down. So Rabbi Yeshua likes to go. Vacharami, and who? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Vacharami, Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so you have three Tanayim who are now going and going to pay him a visit. So Hachavam do a Pesach Beisur Nichnasa Shivchasa Amrlo Rabbi Chachma Yisrael Ban Nitzacha. So now they're at the front door, and his maidservant says, "Okay, I see who's at the front," and she notifies him. Amar la yichnasu. So he says, "Okay, good. Allow them entrance for nichnasu," and they entered. Tafsul Rabbi Yeshua v'ashivu al mita shel zahav. He took Rabbi Yeshua and set him on a gold chair or on a gold bed. Amale Rabbi amor la tamidecha acher v'yashav. And he said, "Say the same thing to your students." Amar lo mi hu. So who are they? In other words, remember this Talmud Chacham couldn't see. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Amar v'yesh lo ben Azariah chaverenu, and he was amazed. He says, "That's amazing. I did not know that Azariah had a child." So Karolav Hamikra Zenar Yisik Amzakantiv Larisik Sadik Nezav Vizar Mevakish Lachem. Okay, and he quoted the pasuk in Tehillim, which we're going to come back a little bit later on in this daf. Tafsiv Oshiva Amitor Shozav. He also sent him on a bed of gold. Amalei Rebbe Amor LaTamidecha Acher VeYashav. Okay, I know there's one more here. I don't know who it is, but there's one more here in this group. Amalei Umihu Akiva Ben Yosef. Amalei. So he says, so he was introduced. Akiva ben Yosef is here as well. Amrle atahu Akiva ben Yosef sheshimcha olech misofa olam v'atsofo shev ben ishev kamoscha yirbu b'yisrael. And he was extolling a lot of praise. And he says, good. Your reputation goes from one end of the world to the other. There should be more like you amongst the Jewish people. Please go sit down. Okay. Now, mind you, by the way, everything is cordial at this point in time, but obviously they're here for business. In other words, this particular Talmud Chacham is pasking l'alach like Beit Shammai, and what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to tell him, don't. Okay, and he's a Talmud Chacham, meaning this is going to be a contentious discussion. It starts off beautifully. In other words, they have a tremendous amount of respect for one another, but when all said and down, it's time now to get down to business. Yeah. So now, a discussion, and they went circumventing. They went from one halacha to another halacha to another halacha, and I'm guessing they all knew why they were there. They all knew. Okay, but in other words, right. But let's start talking about other areas of halacha, and eventually they got to Tzaras Abbas. Amar le Tzaras Abbas Mahu. So they said to him, "What's the halacha regarding Tzaras Abbas?" Amar lehem, "Machlok is Beisham and Beisilo." And once again, second time today, a no comment. Right? It's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What do you want from me? So, halacha kedivrei mi. What we want from you is we want to hear from you, who does the halacha follow like? It's a simple question. Amar lehem halacha ke Beis Hillel. So he says halacha is like Beis Hillel. So, amar lehem v'alo mishmencha amar halacha ke Beis Shammai. Well, that's interesting because a lot of people have been going around and saying in your name that the halacha follows like Beis Shammai. No? Amr lehem dosa shematim o ben horkana shematim. So he says, okay, question. What's it called? These rumors, so to say. Was it said over in the name of dosa or was it said over in the name of ben horkanus? Now, the Talmud Chacham here in question is Rabbi Dosa ben horkanus. Okay. But as you'll see in just a moment, that's important. It's an important detail. Amr le chaye Rabbi stam shamanu. So they said, look, we just heard. Amalehem ach katan yeshli b'chor satanhu. So he says, okay. He says, now I'm gonna help you out over here. Meaning Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus is now saying that it was stated and it was said by a ben Horkanus, just by a different ben Horkanus. Happens to have been my brother. Now the Gemara has an unbelievably descriptive term describing his younger brother. Is the yesh b'chor, I'm sorry, ach katan yeshli b'chor satanhu. Okay. I know. Say Rashi over here, Charif v'omeid al shmua v'ose masa v'eino shav mishmua so lasos karabim. Okay, he's an independent thinker, and he is not swayed so much by what is the popular opinion. Okay, But popular opinion over here, just to be clear, we all understand. We're talking now about popular opinion not created by the masses, popular opinion created by Talmid HaChamim. So in other words, okay, so it happens to be that he is, he's an independent thinker, and he's stubborn. Okay, so that's the Rashi's description of the Bechor Satan. And it happens to be that he's a student of Shammai, which, by the way, comes out now that even intra-family, you have those subscribing to Beis Hillel and those subscribing to Beis Shammai. Okay. And I'm just telling you right now, meaning I know you want to pay him a visit. I understand that. However, I'm just warning you. He's going to have 300 responses to you. 300 responses is just whenever we see an exaggerated term. So the number 300 was always used. Not sure why specifically the number 300, but still, he's going to have a lot of answers to you. My recommendation: don't bother. But I'm telling you right now, I'm giving testimony. The Chagai stood right over there. Chagai Hanavi. Now that's going back hundreds of years. Right? Chagai Hanavi is one of the last of the Nevi'im, but the last of the Nevi'im lived at the beginning of Ba'al Sheni. And from the perspective of Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus and his contemporaries of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva, we are now post Ba'al Sheni. So we are at a minimum 400 years later. But okay. But in other words, obviously, they operated with a Masorah. They had a tradition. And he says, my tradition going back to Chagai Hanavi is Va'amar Shosha Dvarim. And I'm telling you that he testified three things. Number one, Sarah Sabas Asura, that the co-wife of a daughter, the co-wife of a daughter is Asura, meaning the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Now, this is hundreds of years before Beis Hillel ever opined, which means that it was at one point in time, it was a Masorah. It was part of the Masorah. Amun Amoah of Ma'aser Ma'aser Ani B'Shvi'is, and as far as Amun Amoah were concerned, the lands, the provinces of Amun Amoah, so you take off Ma'aser Ani and during the Shemitah year, Mekabim Gerim and Akarduyim, Umin Atarmudim, and we're allowed to accept Gerim from these people. Okay, the point number two and three, we're going to go over in just a little bit more detail in just a moment. Okay. Anyway, what comes out over here is as follows. So, we had an exchange between the Tanaim of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yoshua. And they all went and paid a visit to Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus because there was a report that Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus was passing like Beis Shammai regarding the issue of Tzaras Abbas or Tzaras Erva. And so they went to pay him a visit. He himself no longer was going to the Beis Medrash, but his opinion was respected. And they basically wanted to say to him, get on board with the Shita Beis Hillel. Do not start propagating the position of Beis Shammai. And through the story, what was clarified is that it was not him that was propagating that viewpoint, but rather that it was a younger brother of his who was a disciple of Beis Shammai, of the school of Beis Shammai, and that was who was reporting it. And the Gemara says that he warned them not to go and confront his younger brother. His younger brother can be a little bit stubborn. Tanak, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Kishenichnasu Nichnasu bePesach Echad, Kishiyatsu Yasu B'Shosha Pesachim. So when they enter in one, and when they exit through three different entrances, three different exits. Pagabob Rabbi Akiva, Akshaleva Ukme. So he went to go visit he asked him many questions, and he was able to defend himself. Amarlo Atahu Akiva Shishim Chaholach Misofa Olam Ve'atzofo, Ashrecha Shezachisa L'Shem, Ve'adayin Lo Yata L'Roei Bakar. So he says to him, the younger brother, now says to Rabbi Akiva, so it's unbelievable that you have such an unbelievable reputation and you have not yet arrived at the point of roei bakar, meaning I don't even consider you a shepherd of large animals. Rabbi Akiva, in his humility, says, a shepherd of large animals, Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva, ve'afil roei tzon. What are you talking about? I'm not even a shepherd of small animals as well. Okay, it's a great lesson to us in terms of How to take an insult. Meaning, okay, humility.
See, now they call him Rabbi.
Yeah, right. Okay, good. Okay, so all we get is just a quick postscript over here of the exchange that takes place between Rabbi Kiva and the younger brother. And as Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus predicted, the younger brother is not going to budge one bit. And on top of that, also, a slight insult to Buddha as well. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the story, and we're not finished with the daf yet today. We have a little bit more to go, but At this point in time now, we're just going to wrap it up. Meaning that in this long brisa that we saw in the Amud Aleph of today's daf, so we saw that Rabbi Dosa ben Horkana says there are three things I'm going to testify going all the way back to Chagai Anavi. So the first of the three has to do with Tzaras Abbas, and he testified that Tzaras Abbas is muteris, meaning she is not subject eligible for the mitzvah of Yibum. Just like the Erva, she's going to be excused and exempt, and she goes and she marries somebody else. Again, she just Beis Hillel. It's what we've been learning since the beginning of the Masechta. But again, this is obviously a point of controversy as a result of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Okay, that was point number one. There are two other points in the Gemara. Now is just going to treat us to a little discussion regarding the second point and the third point. So we heard this already a couple of times. We heard this recently back in Chagiga. And that is that when they came back to Eretz Yisrael a second time in order to build the second base of Mikdash, so they didn't conquer as many cities as the Ole Bavel did. And so therefore, the amount of acquisition of Eretz Yisrael was smaller for Bais Sheni than when it was for Bais Rishon. And whatever was not acquired by the Ole Bais Sheni does not have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so fine. So there are going to be land masses that are not invested with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Now, that's advantageous. And what they did now is they left those lands so that now, during the Shemitah year, right, we are currently now in the Shemitah year. So, in theory, no land is to be worked, and no land is to be plowed, and no land is to be harvested, and that means to say that we're going to be short on food. Now, the Torah promises us that, I know, right, recognizing that that's going to be an issue, don't worry, the year before is going to be a bumper crop. Okay, however, during Bais Sheni, they put in a safety net, if you will, in that the lands that are not invested with the Kedusha, so they're going to be used during the Shemitah year in order to provide for the Aniyim. Okay, for whatever reasons, right, we are only given two lines of Gemara, but for whatever reasons, there just simply was not ample food for everybody during the Shemitah year, and so therefore they basically had reserves being used from these lands that are not invested with the Kedusha. And then the last point, the Gemara now goes and discusses Mekablin Gerim and Akardim Va'at Tarmudim. And they accepted converts from Garmuyim and Tarmudim. So the Gemara says, Ini Vaha, is this so? Va'atani Rami Bar Cheskel and Mekablin Gerim and Akarduyim. So the Gemara says that the one is not allowed to accept Gerim from Karduyim for reasons which we're going to highlight in just a moment. So, but meanwhile, this is going against what was reported going all the way back to Chagai Hanavi. Am Rav Ashi kartuyim itmar. Okay, so I made a mistake, an understandable mistake, meaning take out the dalet and replace it with a tuf. It's a different group of people. So kedamri inshi kartuyim psulim v'ika kartuyim psulim. And the Gemara says, you know, people say that. Anyone who is coming from the province of Kartuye is in fact going to be disqualified. Again, the reason we're going to highlight in just a moment. Now, in another version, we have a brisa that says that one's not allowed to marry from Kartuyim. My love, Hanu Kartuyim, Hanu Karduyim. Now, in the second version, we got it reported correctly in the beginning. But at least the question is, Kartuyim, Karduyim, aren't they the same? So, Amar Rav Ashi, lo, Kartuyim lechud, Kartuyim lechud, Kedamri Yishei, Kartuyim psile. So the Gemara says, no, they're not the same. In other words, those are two different groups of people. Rav Yochanan, Vesavya, Dami, Tavai, Emekam, German, Tarmudim. So, Rav Yochanan, together with the elder, said that we do not accept Gerim from Tarmudim. Omi Amar Rav Yochanan, Achi, Vatanan, Kolaksam, and Baim, and Arakim, Tarm, Rav Yehuda, Metame, Min Meshem, Gerim, Vitomi, Bain, Vitoim, Mebain of Dekochavim, Tohorim. If you find a kesem, this is a Gemara Nida. The Gemara Nida talks about where the blood comes from a woman menstruating. However, it did not. She did not have a hargasha. She didn't feel the blood coming out, but rather it is on the clothing. And this is an halacha, what's called a kesem that's found on clothing. And the woman did not have the hargasha. She did not have the sensation as the blood was coming out. So that kesem now is going to be tamei. But this is a din derabanan. And this is only going to apply to Jews, not to non-Jews. So, ksamim that come from Rechem are going to be tahor, because they are not Jewish. And Rav Yehuda Metame, Mimnei Shem Gerim. Rav Yehuda is of the position that they're converts, Vitoim. However, mibein of the kochavim torim, but if it comes from non-Jews, it's going to be tzara. V'havinam ba'kapasik v'tani. And now the Gemara says on that Mishnah, so we have the following, and that is mibein of the kochavim afilam in Talmud, that the Braisa does not, sorry, the Mishnah doesn't qualify. And the Mishnah says that if it comes from Ovdi Kochavim, so it's for sure going to be, tower, which means that they're non-Jewish. And it doesn't specify. In other words, basically every non-Jew, including those who are Talmudim. Vamrav Yochanan Zosim Rez Mecham Ger Mitarmud. And that means to say that anyone's coming from Talmud is not Jewish. And that's good vis-a-vis conversion, i.e., you can accept gerim from them. So vichite ma zos velo sfirle. And maybe what you'll tell me is that, look, maybe Rav Yochanan doesn't subscribe to that viewpoint. Meaning, maybe you can assume that that's what the pshat in the Mishnah is, but maybe Rav Yochanan doesn't subscribe to that. So v'ham Rav Yochanan halachik istam Mishnah. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we say this, and this is repeated throughout Shas, that Rav Yochanan follows a anonymous Mishnah. Meaning, from Rav Yochanan's standpoint, whenever Rav Yehuda Hanasi puts a Mishnah together, and he does so anonymously, that's a tip, that's a tell, that in fact, Allah follows like that particular Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Amar Neinu V'Aliba to Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's Machlokas Amarayim, within the sheet of Rav Yochanan, as to whether or not the Halacha is like a Stam Mishnah, or the Halacha is not like a Stam Mishnah. Yes, the Gemara needs to discuss that very question. So, mitamud my time alo, pligi ba Rabbi Yochanan v'sabia. Okay, so, where are we right now? There are groups of people that you cannot accept gerim from. Okay, Talmud, kartuyim, not karduyim. Anyway, what the Gemara has yet to discuss is why. Why not? And that's what we're going to be discussing to finish off our daf today. So, my time alo, mitamud my time alo. So, pligi ba Rabbi Yochanan v'savya. So the Gemara says there's a debate on this very issue. Chadamar mishum avde shlomo, v'chadamar mishum benos Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, well, in terms of where are they being generated from? Meaning, what is the origins of these groups of people? So the Gemara has two different positions, and the Gemara goes over both these positions. Bishlama, laman damar mishum avde shlomo. So the Gemara says avde shlomo. Meaning, Shlomo HaMelech had not just a kingdom, but he himself had tremendous amount of wealth. Okay. In addition to that, he had slaves, a lot of slaves. Now, the slaves are not Jewish. And now, the Gemara over here is exposing us, introducing us to an opinion. We're going to see this opinion later in our Masechta. We're going to see it again in Kedushin as well. It is not the accepted halacha. But there is an opinion that says that if a non-Jew or an Eved were to have relations with a Jewish woman, the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. Again, I'm highlighting, that's not the accepted viewpoint. However, there is an opinion like that. So if you subscribe to that viewpoint, so that means that the people coming from Talmud are mamzerim. Now, a mamzer, can a mamzer convert? No, of course not. And because a mamzer is Jewish. And can a mamzer now change his status from being a mamzer? The answer is going to be no. So that's why these particular group of people are going to be disqualified. And Gerus is not going to help. Now, there's another opinion that Talmud, the origin story of Talmud, is that they are Benos Yerushalayim. That's a vague term. What does that mean? Gemara explains. So, pligi by Rav Yosef Rabbanan. Now, even in the explanation over here, we don't have agreement. So, v'tarvay mishmei derava barbrachana, chadamar treisa alpe gavre v'shisa alpe kashtuye, v'chadamar treisa alpe gavre uminayhu shisa alpe kashtuye. So, they are the children of soldiers, archers. The exact numbers open for a discussion, but the Gemara gives us more information, and that is that when the non-Jews went into the Heichal, so Hakol Nifnu El Kesef Zahav, so most of them went for the gold, and went for the wealth. Vehem Nifnu El Benos Yerushalayim, but these particular soldiers, so they went after Benos Yerushalayim. Shenemar Nashim B'tzion Inu Besulos Be'are Yehuda Pasuk in Heicha, fifth Perek. So goes and describes how there were a select number of the Eichas describing the Churban Bais Rishon. So let's assume right now we're describing the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, although it's a Navi, so it could be flexible in terms of whether it's describing the first or second Beis Hamikdash. But let's assume we're talking about the first Beis Hamikdash. So they went in, and instead of going after the wealth, they went after the women. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Pasuk Zeh. Okay, let's stop over here. Let's pause over here. And even though there's a little bit more, but we'll save this for tomorrow. Okay, so a couple of opinions in the Gemara regarding exactly what is the origin story of Talmud, but either report basically arrives at the conclusion that they are mamzerim, and mamzerim is a non-solvable problem in terms of marriage. Because once you're a mamzer, so that's it. In other words, there's no eligibility for gerus. Obviously, you're Jewish. And there's no way of removing the mamzer status, not for you and not for future generations as well. And that's why Talmud is going to be disqualified. Let's recap our daf today. We started it off by opening up the discussion of the last 2 days. This is now going to be day number 3 of this discussion. Did Beit Shammai follow their position? And again, as we pointed out, the evidence would indicate, yes, they did follow their position. Rabbi Yeshua was asked a question regarding the halacha. Rabbi Yeshua tried to sidestep the question, but ultimately, when push comes to shove, the halacha says it falls like Beis Hillel says. Rabbi Yeshua, what about Sara Sabas? So Rabbi Yeshua gave an answer for that as well, reporting that there are Kohanim Gedolim who are the products of Sara Sabas, and even from Beis Shammai's position, they could still serve as a Kohen Gadol. Why, if the halacha falls like Beis Hillel, are we interested in how Beis Shammai is going to view it? Very interesting gemara that we saw this morning on the bottom of Tesvav Amid Beis, and that is that once I know the answer to that question, I can now use that answer and use that argument to now go and explain other halachas as well. Okay, and that was the bottom of Tesvav Amid Beis. Tetzayin Amid Aleph. The gemara quotes the brisa regarding Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus, first a snippet and then the entire brisa at length. Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus had rumors were running rampant that he was passing like Beit Shammai. And so, therefore, a collection of Chachamim paid him a visit. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yoshua, 3 Tanaim Gedolim went to go visit him in order to speak to him. And the Gemara concludes that after having spoken to him, they realized that it wasn't he who was propagating that position, but rather it was his younger brother. The Gemara just gives us at the end, the tail end of the story, Rabbi Akiva's confrontation with the younger brother didn't end well, as Rabbi Dosa promised him that it didn't. Within the discussion between Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus and the Tanayim, so he says, I'm going to tell you 3 things that I have as a tradition going back to Chagai Hanavi. 1 is the halacha follows, in fact, like Beis Hillel, which, again, historically that means that they've been following Beis Hillel Shita for years. A question, by the way, which is fair to ask is that if this is a tradition going back to Chagai Hanavi, so how can there be arguments? Good. I'm not the first one who asked that question. There are a number of ways of how to present it. And then there were 2 other halachas that were also testified in the name of Chagai Hanavi. What happens to areas that were not invested with Kedusha for the Ole Bavel? So, what is used with their lands who are now, those lands are not subject to the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, not subject to Shemitah. So in the 7th year, they use that land and all the resources of that land are going to be given over to Aniyim in the Shnas HaShemitah. And finally, anyone who is a product from Karduyim and Tarmudim, you can, in fact, accept them as Gerim. A point of controversy, because the origins of these groups of people, Tarmudim and Karduyim, is subject to a debate, and there are some opinions who are of the position that they are that you cannot accept them as Gerim because they're not Jewish. In fact, they are Jewish. They happen to be Jewish Mamzerim. So as a result of that, you can't accept them as Gerim. So he's testifying in the name of Chagai that you could accept him as Gerim. Adkar.